The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sapleti.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning. I am Jeff Paul, your host, flying solo today, except for my good buddy Aaron Wells, who's in the house. Good job on the Sports Center, pal.
Thank you.
We are out. We are missing our boy Bernie. Like 5 to 10 minutes ago, I got a text from Bernie saying that he is home ill. I think he's got a little food poisoning. So, Bernie, I hope you feel better, kiddo. I hope you stay in bed, drink some fluids, drink some Gatorade. Best thing for you, though, when you're not feeling good and you're under the weather, when you have, a little, sometimes it could be a hangover. I don't think this is Bernie's issue, though. I think Bernie is seriously sick. What you got to do is get yourself some Pedialyte. You give it to the kiddos when they have the diarrhea. Keeps them hydrated. Pedialyte is the answer, Aaron. I'm helping you out here as well. Okay? So, when you have rough nights, get yourself some Pedialyte. Not a lot of sugar, which beats Gatorade. You don't want the Gatorade's got a lot of sugar in it. When you get a little older, the sugar packs on the pounds. So you get the Pedialyte, cut it with some water, and you'll thank me. So Bernie, send your wife out or one of your kids out to get you some Pedialyte to feel better. So feel better, big man. We're thinking about you. But Bernie is out today. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, which is open at the same number, 802-655-6672. Did you want to say something, Aaron?
Yeah, I got a quick correction for my World Cup update.
Go ahead.
Belgium-Tunisia actually ended 5-2 with two quick goals at the end for each one. For each team.
Wow, so 5-2, that's a lot of scoring. For this year's tournament, the World Cup, that's a lot of scoring. But let's get into the show. Like I said, 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. I've always said great teams, great baseball teams have great leadoff hitters. Always said that. I mean, I think it's important. Any championship-level team has to have a great leadoff hitter. And we do this week on Sports Saturday have a great leadoff hitter. As we have right now on the line, TikTok Jewelers guest line, Patricia Traina, our Giants insider, joins us on the line right now to talk some New York Giants football. Patricia, good morning. Do we have her, Aaron?
We should. Patricia?
Oh, looks like she might be calling back. Maybe you hung up on her, Aaron. And that's what happens sometimes with live radio. We'll see if we can get her back. Well, while we're waiting for Patricia to get back, obviously the Giants season last season was completely a disappointment. I think all Giant fans can understand and can relate that it was a complete disappointment. But going into this particular season, this offseason, there seems to be some good feelings in New York, in terms of what Odell Beckham Jr. is doing, in terms of what they're drafted with the big running back they signed. It looks like we've got Patricia back. Patricia, good morning.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, it's good to talk to you today. It's just me. It's just Jeff today. Bernie is out ill, so you just got to talk to me today, which is always fun, Patricia, because I like to hog the questions that I have when you're on the phone with us, okay? Go ahead. Bernie gets so excited to talk to you. I'm glad he's not here because now I can hog you today. So I hope you're okay with that.
I'm fine with it, but I hope Bernie feels better. I was sick a couple weeks ago myself, so I know that can be a drag.
Yeah, I'm sure he's pretty resilient, so I'm sure he'll bounce back. But we'll get right into this with you, Patricia. After a really difficult season, not only for the fans of the New York Giants, but I can just assume some of the superstars for the New York Giants, really tough season, a team that had all this expectation going into the year and ends up having the number one pick in the draft. There seems to be a lot of good feelings now in New York. Talk about what we're feeling like down in Giants camp.
Well, I mean, every year when it's the spring, there's always optimism. And I think whenever you bring in a new coaching staff, there's even more optimism because it's a new way of doing things. It's a new voice that you're hearing. It's new faces that you're seeing and, you know, new ideas that are being tried out. So, you know, in the spring, everything looks good. If you remember this time last year, everybody was optimistic, as you said. Only to see the season fall apart. And I'm not saying, you know, that that's going to necessarily be the case this year, but, you know, the optimism is really, you know, it, like you said, it's something that you see every year. And certainly, you know, when you're coming off a 3-13 season, there's a lot of room for optimism, you know, because you can't really go that much lower after 3-13. So I think overall there's positive energy. Like I said, optimism and just, you know, a focus that maybe wasn't there before.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed this offseason, and you know, because we have you on a lot, and I go after Odell Beckham Jr. with you often because I've just felt the player that I think he thinks he is and the player that we all think he is, and then the way he wants to get paid going into the last season and through the offseason until it seems as if Shermer was brought in, and then obviously the drafting of Saquon Barkley, you know, all of a sudden Odell Beckham is like the prototypical perfect teammate all of a sudden. Are you seeing a difference in his mentality?
I think Odell sometimes gets misjudged. I mean, now to qualify that, I am not a fan of the histrionics. I am not a fan of when he, you know, does stupid things that cost his team 15 penalty yards. I don't particularly care for, you know, the sideline antics. I mean, you know, they're cute, but, you know, at some point you say to yourself, grow up and act like a professional. But with that said, I think with Odell, he's a guy who loves the game, who loves to play it. And, you know, look, the Giants have all the cards here when it comes to his contract. Odell could sit and pout and hold his breath, you know, and it's really not going to get him what he wants. I mean, if you think about it, what was the Giants' record last year when Odell was in the lineup? They didn't have any wins. So, you know, how many playoff games have they won with him in the lineup? None. So I don't think any one player is bigger than the rest of the team. Does Odell make the team better? Absolutely. But, you know, you can't have guys sitting there and holding temper tantrums, you know, to get their way. I mean, it didn't work for Eric Flowers, and he, you know, his career hasn't quite gone the way Odell's has. So, you know, Odell is just not going to, you know, I don't think he has any leverage in this particular battle.
But in term, and obviously you're right, 100% agree with you. I mean, in all aspects. But I think when you looked at Odell Beckham, say last year, his mindset was 100% different. I mean, he was going to hold out. He was actually becoming a distraction. And this season going in, now it's a situation where he's coming off an injury, obviously, but it seems as if his whole mindset's changed. He's showing up at the you know, voluntary practices and the offseason practices. He's just been a quality citizen all of a sudden. He's become a real teammate. Have you seen a shift in him a little bit in terms just of that?
No, not really, because let's remember something, Jeff. He never came right out and said, I'm going to hold out. I'm unhappy with my contract. These were all reports issued by sources, you know, and I use sources too, and I understand sources do exist. They really do exist, and a lot of them are, you know, legitimate. But in a case with Odell, you know, if you go back to what he has said on the record, he has mentioned, you know, yes, I would like to, you know, I aspire to become the highest paid player, you know, he I mean, how is that different from anybody else? But you know, Odell, I go back to what he said a few years ago, how he loves football, how it's his oasis, his opportunity to be who he wants to be free, you know, kind of kick back and do what he loves to do. So really, what is there to be gained by him, you know, by holding out or not being, you know, the quote-unquote perfect locker room citizen, as you put it, you know? I mean, there's really nothing to be gained. And then here's the other factor that a lot of people aren't taking into consideration, especially, you know, recently, Dave Gettleman, the general manager, is dealing with a very significant health issue.
Right.
So, you know, right now we're in a down period. Okay. We've got about what, six weeks before the start of training camp. So wouldn't it be best to let Dave Gettleman focus on getting better you know, getting those treatments in that he needs. And anybody who's had cancer, and I know because I've had it, and I know what those treatments can do to a person. So let Dave Gettleman take care of that. I mean, they're not playing any games until September 9th. They count for anything. So really, what is the big, you know, I don't understand what the big rush is. I mean, the contract, like John Mayer said, will take care of itself when it does. But, you know, everybody seems to panic because it's not being done right this second. And there's just no need to, in my opinion.
Well, and it sounds like the people that matter aren't panicking. It sounds like Odell Beckham is not panicking. It sounds like the Giant front office is not panicking. It's just the media around it sounds like they're trying to create some kind of panic there. But let's change topics here. And obviously, that's great news to hear that you know, it looks like Odell is really getting back on, is on board here. The team looks better on paper. But it's all going to come down, let's be honest, to Eli Manning. I mean, at the end of the day, this team, if they can protect Eli, it's going to be on his shoulders. I mean, we talk about Eli a lot on this show. We talked about with this with you, and to me, he's, you know, I love that he's brought two championships to New York, and he's probably one of the nicest. I've never met him. I just very quickly in a training camp, I shook his hand once. But he seems like one of the nicest guys in football. So this is not an attack on his character. But does Eli Manning have the skill set? If this team has the ability to protect him and has the ability to have the weapons that they potentially can, is he good enough to get them to championship level?
I think he still is. I mean, you've got to look back at the last 4 years and see what transpired. You know, I did an interview with one of the gentlemen from Pro Football Focus, and they've kind of been down on Eli Manning a little bit, you know, because of the trends and the grades that have dipped. But if you look over the last 4 years, Eli has thrown on average 50 more passes per year than what he has thrown in the first 9 years of his career. All right. And that is a benefit of not having a running game. That's partially a benefit of, you know, having to make hay with the passing game, the arrival of Odell. And there's just been no balance in the offense. So I wonder, and I have no proof of this, and obviously, you know, Eli would be the only one who would be able to confirm it, but I don't think he will. I wonder if sometimes Eli suffers from a tired arm because he's being asked to throw so much. And I think the arrival of Saquon Barkley is going to help him tremendously because it's going to give, but not only is it going to give the offense some additional passing options that maybe weren't there in the past, but it's going to give him a running game and allow that offense to get closer to a balance. I mean, when you're throwing the ball nearly twice as much as you're running it, that's a problem. And that's a lot, you know, when you have a 36, 37-year-old quarterback, you know, I don't care how good of in shape he is, that's going to take a toll on his arm. And that's what I think, you know, and again, this is just my theory, but that's what I think the part of the problem has been with Eli Manning the last few years.
And the offensive line looks like it's updated. I mean, you've got young athletic players on there. You've got some guys. I mean, this new kid, Hernandez, looks like he's going to be, I mean, not only does he sound like he's talented, he sounds like he's mean, which I think offensive linemen have to be. You know, this offensive line is going to be revamped. Do you expect it to be better? And if it is Saquon Barkley going to be as special as we think he's going to be this year?
I think the offensive line will be better. Now, if the proof's going to be in the pudding, once they put the pads on, that's when we're really going to be able to tell. But if you go back and you look at the guys that Dave Gettleman brought in, he brought in guys who were good in run blocking. And that's an element. If you go back to when Gettleman was hired, that is an element he said you have to have if you were to have a winning football program. And as I mentioned, that is something the Giants really haven't had in quite some time. So these are all good run blockers. These are also guys who can, you know, for the most part, do a good job protecting the passer. You know, Nate Solder protected Tom Brady's blind side for years, you know. The Jaguars had a top offense behind, you know, Patrick Omame and company. So, you know, I do think the line is going to be better. The key is going to be, you know, staying healthy, obviously, staying together and building that camaraderie. And I do think that, you know, another thing we want to keep an eye on is because this line is so much more athletic and better at run blocking, now, you know, what we saw in the spring was a lot of outside runs with Saquon Barkley because he has that speed and athleticism to get to the outside, to threaten the edge, and to go up and challenge a linebacker at that second level. You know, we hadn't seen that before with this particular running game. So, I think it's all going to jive together, and I'm excited to see how it takes shape once the pads go on.
Patricia, I got to tell you, we love your insight. I wish I had more time with you. We are up against the clock. Please, if you do see Dave Gettleman, I know you're around the Giant organization all the time, please give him our best. We pray and form him, and we're thinking about him, and we want him back on the sideline as quickly as possible.
Amen to that. I will.
All right, Patricia, have a great day. Have a great day.
You too.
The great Patricia Traina, and I'm going to say this. One of the I would say maybe, I don't know if there's another Giants writer that you want to have on a show, because she's front line. And I'm one of those dorks, Aaron, that watch, like I go on the Bleacher Report and I'm trying to hear all the interviews, and she's front line. It's all her questions. So Patricia's really interesting, and she definitely has great inside scoop. And this Giant team it's exciting if you're a Giant fan. I mean, you have to be excited. You know, a team that's been so bad for so long, and now all of a sudden there's some excitement there. It looks like the draft was, at least in terms on paper, looked good. The linebacker they picked up from Georgia looks like he's going to be a good player. You know, he's the type of player that I think you have to have in the NFL today, and linebacker that has the ability to cover a running back, which the Giants have not had in a long time, and an athletic linebacker that can cover a tight end. Thank goodness Jason Witten's retiring, by the way. I mean, I've had enough of Jason Witten with the New York Giants, but a team that could be up on the rise here. We have no clue, obviously. The proof will be in the pudding, but at least it looks like it's going in the right direction.
I feel good about it. I mean, come on, those thighs.
He's a big guy.
Goodness.
He's a big kid. He is really, honestly, you just don't know yet, but he really is like an Adonis, this guy. I mean, his legs seriously are bigger than my body. Just one of them. I saw him throw the first pitch out of Yankee Stadium a couple weeks ago. And I couldn't, I mean, it's like, oh my God, this kid is unbelievable. And when you watch him on the field, I've watched some small tapes of him. He really is spectacular. So anyway, we do have to take a quick break because we've got another, this show is unbelievable. I'm flying alone here. No Bernie. All right, just me and Aaron. And we start with Patricia Traina. And guess who we have next? The head basketball coach at UVM, John Becker, off-season basketball talk. Nothing from a coach like me. I'm excited about this. Don't go anywhere. John Becker, UVM men's hoops, coming at you next. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul. And Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Not just me today. Bernie's out sick. Had a little food poisoning. Bern, man, we're thinking of you, buddy. Feel better. And I know he wanted to come in here, too, because I got the text like at 10 of Aaron. You know, he's like, I can't do it. I'm so sorry.
He really made an effort to get in.
He tried. You got to give him credit for that.
Couldn't quite rally.
Yeah, I just couldn't quite rally. This is Sports Saturday here at 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. As you know, we are huge UVM basketball fans here. Bernie, a former player, obviously, and great friends with the head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, John Becker. And what an unbelievable run this coach and this team has had over the last, I mean, since he's been here. I mean, we gloat about this program, what it's been able to do. And on the TikTok Julius guest line, we have right now the aforementioned head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, John Becker. Good morning, coach. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's just me today, though. Your buddy Bernie is MIA, hurting today, a little sick, got a little food poisoning, so he's out today. So it's just going to be you and me. I hope that's okay.
Oh, so he's hungover this morning.
I will say, usually Bernie plays hurt, so he must really not be feeling well for him not to be in here today, but we won't pick on him too much about that. Coach, I got to tell you, I say this to you all the time, you know, we are so proud of what you've been able to do here at UVM. Obviously, it seems like you just keep handing the ball off to the next group of kids that come in, and you continuously are one of the top, if not the top team in the conference, and always pushing for an NCAA tournament. One of the things I did want to ask you, because we haven't talked to you since the season ended, is, you know, as a soccer coach myself, I always tell my kids, it's always easy when it's easy, but you're always defined when it's hard. And what did and obviously you guys, the heartbreaking loss in the America East Championship game after in a team that had, and your team was just unbelievable all season. And again, the unfortunate part for you guys as a mid-major is that no matter how many games you win, you really got to win that tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, which I think everybody's goal is. What did you tell the guys when you walked into the locker room after that tough loss back in March?
Well, I mean, it was tough, obviously, and with so many seniors on that team, it was a really difficult situation. But you know, they played better than us, and that happens, and that's what makes sports great. You know, that anything can happen, and why you play the games. And UMBC played a really, really good game, and obviously went on to play even a better game than against Virginia and made history. But it was hard, you know, and it was hard to look those seniors in the eyes and all they've given to us and to this program. It was really, really sad, but you know, that's life, and you got to move on and accept the fact that you got outplayed.
And, you know, I saw a couple of your players actually a couple hours later actually out, and I was actually cross a couple of them, and they definitely had a great mindset. You know, they looked like they had, you know, they understood it's sport, and they were getting ready for the next step or whatever the next challenge, which was the NIT. So I think that says a lot about the athletes that you had. Talk about some of those seniors and what they meant to the program, meant to you over the years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you start with Trey Bell Haynes, and, you know, one of the best players to ever play at Vermont, I think. And, you know, he was just a great leader for us, a great player, incredible competitor, and really, you know, kind of set the tempo for that group. And he just, I found out, got invited to the Milwaukee Bucks summer league team. So he'll be playing with them in the summer, which is really exciting for him. And, you know, Peyton Henson, who transferred in from Tulane, was tremendous, and another leader on our team, and really, you know, another really successful transfer story for us. And he was awesome. And Drew Urquhart, I thought, was a first-team All-League guy this year and stepped in when Anthony Lamb went down and had his best year. And, you know, Cam Ward was sixth man of the year to bookend his career as a freshman and senior, and had a great career for us. And Nate Rohr and Dave Urso's walk-ons were really, really good. So just a great group of kids, all graduated. And Drew, Peyton, and obviously Trey are going to try to play professionally here and are looking for spots over in Europe. So, you know, so it was a great group.
Now, I mean, you just mentioned that Trey Bell Haynes just got invited to potentially, you know, to work out a little bit with the Milwaukee Bucks. As the head coach here of the UVM men's basketball team up here in Little Burlington, Vermont, that's got to make you feel good that you got a kid that's got a shot at the NBA.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and that's all Trey, and you know, yeah, a kid that really didn't have any scholarship offers out of high school, wasn't ranked or rated by anybody, and he made himself a borderline NBA player, and you know, it's just unbelievable, but it does make me really, really proud, that's for sure.
So let's go into the team that we have coming in here. I mean, you and your staff have been brilliant recruiters over the years here. So what can we expect from the class coming in this year?
Yeah, the guys all got to campus this past week. Our three freshmen look really, really fit and ready to go. And I think are going to be really good. You know, you don't know until you go to war with them. But I do like the three kids we brought in. And Robin Duncan, who's the youngest, Duncan brothers, all of 6'5", could be 6'6", point guard, pass first type of point guard, and great feel for the game. And, you know, I think doesn't shoot it like his two brothers, but he does a lot of really, really good things. And I think, you know, he's going to be a heck of a defender and a really kind of a table-setting point guard and with great size. So I'm really excited for him. Isaiah Maul from the Albany area, Colony High School over there in Albany, you know, kind of a body type, looks a lot like Anthony Lamb, but we think he's going to be really, really good, can shoot it out to three, and it really can score. He's a scorer, 225, about 6'6", 225, just a tank, but really skilled, and I think he's going to be special for us. And then Ryan Davis, big kid from the Chicago area, 6'8", 6'9", probably now, has really gotten into great shape, probably has lost since when he signed in November to today. I mean, he's probably lost 30 to 40 pounds and just looks tremendous, and a guy that can bang down low but also can shoot three. So he's going to be really fun to coach, and we can do a lot of different things with him. And kid that was first team All-State in Illinois, which is really, really difficult to do, and really, really decorated high school player that, again, I think will have a chance to play a big role in this team right away. So those three guys, Kevin Garrison from Burlington High School is going to walk on, so we're really excited about that. And, you know, so, and we have one more scholarship available, so we're still out there work in the transfer market and high school kids to see if we can fill that last scholarship.
We are talking to the head UVM men's basketball coach, John Becker, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Coach, talk about the business of recruiting. I mean, there's so much talent in our country and all over the world now. You can recruit from all over the world here. I mean, how difficult and what kind of job is it to do this year-round in terms of trying to get the players you want into your program?
Well, I mean, it's challenging, and there are a lot of good players out there. But, you know, being up here in Burlington, you know, kind of tucked away up here, it's, you know, from a resource standpoint and from a time, just a time standpoint, it takes a while. It's expensive and it takes a while to get to players. So that can be challenging. So we try to be really efficient and really, we've been here long enough. I've been here long enough. I have a really good feel now for the type of kids that are going to like Vermont or, you know, the things I need to hear from them that make me think it's going to be a good fit. And if it's not, we just have to be prepared to move on to the next kid because we don't have unlimited resources. And we just have to be really efficient with it. But it's challenging for sure. And we're trying to get, you know, compete against bigger schools for players now and without losing the values we have here and the things we want our kids to be. You know, it's a little bit longer of a process. We end up maybe losing more recruiting battles now because we're bigger schools. But in the end, you know, it's the way to move this program forward is to continually try to get a better version of a kid that's already been here. You know, and that's something that I think we've done a good job doing.
Last year when we talked to you in the offseason, you announced that you guys were getting ready to go to Kentucky. You played at Lexington last year and played against the University of Kentucky. What can we expect from the schedule this year?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule's almost done, and I can probably speak on it without, you know, but don't hold me to any of this because things do change here. But, yeah, we're going to play at Kansas next year, at Louisville. We're starting a series with George Washington, Maurice Joseph's head coach there, former Catamount great, playing at George Mason, at Towson, and we'll probably play. We're going to play Belmont and Louisiana. I don't know where those games will be yet. One will be home and one will be on the road. Bucknell is going to come. So our home schedule is really good also. Bucknell's coming to Patrick Gym. St. Bonaventure is coming to Patrick Gym. Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth are coming. Who else is coming up here? Obviously, we'll be playing St. Mike's in the exhibition. And so it's going to be, you know, a really, really challenging schedule, obviously playing three Atlantic 10 teams and a couple high majors, one being Kansas, which will be a great experience for our guys again, to play in one of the most storied venues and against one of the most storied programs in college basketball history. So, another really, really good non-conference test this year. We're going to be really young. So it's going to be, you know, our last 2 years, we were 10-5 in our non-conference against equally good schedule, but had a much more seasoned group, a championship team, basically that returned for the last couple of years. So this will be fun and challenging, you know, I'm already getting nervous about that stuff. So I try not to talk about it too much.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, I mean, I don't know how what your mentality is in this, but what you've built here and what you've, you know, from what you've taken from, say, from Coach Brennan onto Coach Lonergan, and you've basically just stepped in and you've just moved this program to the next level. I mean, the fact that last year, you know, you're going to Kentucky, this year, I guess it's not official, but Kansas, Louisville, along with the other teams that you're playing. I mean, Coach, I mean, this is a low mid-major program that you took over, and you're moving it towards the mid-major category. I mean, you've got to be it's amazing what you've done here.
No, I appreciate that, and it is really exciting, and you know, it's just, you know, we just want to continue to challenge ourselves, make it interesting, hopefully make the people of the state proud and of this community proud and the university, and, yeah, it's exciting stuff, and I'm really excited to coach this team. You know, and kind of this next wave of Catamounts, you know, and that's been able to do that successfully a couple times, and I like I'm going to really like coaching this team. It's going to be fun and challenging again, but we'll figure it out, and hopefully, you know, by conference play we'll be playing good basketball.
When Bernie texted me to tell me he was out, he wanted me to ask you about your golf trip. So I'm supposed to ask you about your golf trip.
Yeah, so I went to Scotland in May with a bunch of guys from the area, and had an incredible trip over there. Played some beautiful courses, St. Andrews, being the kind of the crown jewel of that. Yeah. And it was just perfect weather, didn't rain, and it was nice to get away. It's been the first time I'd taken a vacation away, a long time. So it was good to get away and just have some fun.
You got to play in Scotland, and it didn't rain once?
It didn't rain once. I had so much rain gear and stuff. I mean, I was like loaded down with stuff and didn't use any of it. But if that's what I had to do so it didn't rain, then that's what we did. So it was fun.
And we got a minute left. I know you're a big Knicks fan. You happy with Kevin Knox?
Yeah, I like the draft, I guess. You know, Mitchell Robinson, the kid that was supposed to go to Western Kentucky that didn't go. They got in the second round. And I think he was projected as a first-round talent. And then Kevin Knox, obviously we played against him. He hit the big shot push it from 1-4 and kind of put us away. But, young, right? We got a lot of young guys now on our roster. At least it feels like we have some kind of direction now. Time will tell if it works out. But at least it feels like there's a plan. And so I'm excited for that, although after watching the Celtics and the Sixers last year, it reminds you how far off the Knicks are. So it's still going to be a while before we're competitive, but at least we have a plan, it feels like.
John Becker, thanks so much for the time, buddy. We're proud of you, and enjoy the rest of your summer, my man.
Yeah, thanks. Good talking to you, and Bernie, get well.
All right, thanks. The head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, John Becker. I mean, just unbelievable stuff there. And again, I mean, that's a little bit breaking news there. At Kansas, at Louisville, I mean, Trey Bell Haynes is getting a little summer league shot here with the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, this is big deal for the UVM basketball program. And I'm telling you right now, everybody out there that listens to this stuff, and this is your backyard. You've got one of the premier mid-major programs in the country right here in Burlington. You got one of the premier coaches at state. Seems he's staying. I mean, he's been here for a while now. I mean, I'm sure he's had opportunities to go. He's still here. So take advantage next season when this basketball team starts dribbling again.
Why would he leave? He gets to put his name on this, and this is fantastic.
No, I agree with what you're saying. We can talk about that when you come back, but a guy like that, you know, that's usually these programs are stepping stone programs, and John Becker's building something here. This is exciting. I mean, listen, I go crazy with this stuff. I get excited, but this is where Gonzaga started. Remember that. Okay, this is where Gonzaga started. They were a low mid-major, and they built themselves up. John Becker's doing a hell of a job here in Vermont. We're really proud of him. All right, take a quick break. Woo, you're talking about a quick show, man. You're talking about a hard-hitting show with no Bernie, just me and you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You guys want to hear my Jeff and Bernie impression? I was watching the Giants game while Monica waxed my head, and Eli Manning is terrible.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Oh, here we go. Come on, Jeff. Lay off, Eli. Where's my Mountain Dew?
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. It's a new one for you. Little new music. What did we call these? Comebacks or something? What's this? You know,
return music.
Return
bumper music.
Bumper music. This is a new one.
I found this this morning, and I was like, oh man, I got it.
This is like my job. This is like my time. Oh yeah.
My name is.
Yeah. This is like my college days.
My name is Wooka Wooka Slim Shady.
It's a new one. So good for you. What a show so far. Patricia Train and New York Giants talk. I mean, we know, Bernie and I usually love to talk, you know, Giants. Now Bernie's not here to even talk Giants with me. The big fella's homesick. So it's just me and you. Got to talk to Patricia Traina. She gave us some good insight. And then obviously John Becker, breaking news here, that they are like pretty much locked in. They're going to Kansas to play this preseason, and they're going to Louisville in their non-season schedule. That's a big deal. And the rest of their schedule, we'll post all this. You can hear it on our 101.3 ESPN website. But that's a big deal for this program. And I've said since day one, you know, with this program, you know, you kind of expected this team back in the early 2000s, I don't even know if you were alive yet back in the day when Cop and Rath and Sorrentine were playing. I can't believe that we're talking about that was almost 20 years ago. I mean, time just goes by so fast, Aaron. I mean, seriously, it's crazy when you think about how quickly time goes by. But when you saw those teams, you were probably just a baby, so you didn't even saw them. But when those teams played, I mean, you thought, okay, this was a nice run with these kids. You know, this is pretty exciting, and then it'll just end. But it's never ended. It just seems as if these, you know, between Coach Brennan to each regime that's taken over, they just kind of hand the players keep coming. And it's great coaching. And John Becker has taken them now you know, with everything that I think that that Brennan did and even Lonergan did while he was here, I mean, Becker's taken it now to the next level. I mean, they're just expected to be in that tournament every year. And last year, for the, you know, it's unfortunate ending to it, and that's the brutal part of being UVM and being in the America East Conference, is that, you know, if you don't win the tournament, you could go undefeated all year, but if you don't win that tournament, you're not going to go to the big dance. That's the unfortunate part of a team like this. But I mean, this team is, not only were they expected to go, people were talking about, including this one right here, that if the matchups were right, could win one or two games in that tournament.
I had them going three rounds, if you remember, in Hot or Not at one point.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. And now, that's probably, you're probably going way out the box there, and it's crazy to think that stuff. But at the end of the day, when you looked how they matched up athletically, they're big, they could shoot, you know, they played great defense, they were deep. I mean, why not in today's college basketball? And that's where they are now. And now to think that last year they're getting to play in Lexington to play Kentucky and almost beating them, and this year they're going to go to the Fog in Kansas and play in one of the most epic facilities in the world in terms of college basketball, and then get to play Louisville and everybody else. There's a zillion teams are playing. I didn't get a chance to list them all down, but you can hear it on 1013ESPN.com's website and listen to our podcast later. It's amazing what they've done.
Yeah, that's last year's team was a dynamic, a good on defense team, first-class kids coached by a first-class coaching staff, and to see them get to play Kansas and Louisville this next year and have a chance to actually beat them and potentially be in the tournament again is fantastic.
Well, it just says that programs like, you know, here's where you measure yourself though, because teams like Kansas and teams like Louisville, they need resume building wins, because, you know, they go play in the, you know, the big, obviously they play, Kansas is one of the powerhouses of the Big 12, but obviously Louisville is in the ACC. You need wins, you know, in the offseason, and to have these two, to have Vermont be chosen to be able to go play those teams. Vermont's not the cupcake going in there. They're looking for a quality opponent, and Vermont's that opponent. So great news out of John Becker today, excited about it. And more importantly, I can't believe he got to play golf in Scotland and it didn't rain. I mean, that's like even more unheard of.
That's just bizarre.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation, 802-655-6672, or you can text us down the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. My name is Jeff Paul. I'm the host of Sports Saturday. Bernie Siplicki, my co-host, is out. Aaron Wells, our producer, sitting in for Bernie a little bit today. So interesting news I heard this week. So the Vermont Lake Monsters season has started. Lake Monsters were off to a great start. I think they lost last night, but off to a great start. But they went extra innings earlier this week. And one of the things that they did was, when they went to extra innings, I was talking to a guy, and someone call and tell me this is what's happening. But when they went to extra innings, instead of going the normal extra innings where you just play until the home team loses or wins, they put a guy at second base. So each team got a guy at second base. That's what you did until, you know, so if you went to, say you go to the 10th inning, you know, say Vermont's home, so the team they're playing puts a guy at second base, and if they score the run, then Vermont has a chance. However runs they score, Vermont has a chance to either win or tie or lose. And I thought to myself, wow, I mean, is this where we're going? And it started to make me think about what I think about in the NFL, their overtime policy, and then in college football, their overtime policy. And I really like the college overtime a lot. I think college overtime is one of the most exciting things, because basically what they do, I think that each team gets the ball like at the 20-yard line, you know, or the 25-yard line, and they get a chance. You know, it could go forever. If people keep scoring touchdowns or field goals, it could go forever. But I like that. And now you're thinking in baseball, because there's been such concern on people burning out bullpens. You know, some of these games, you know, now the pitching is so good in the bullpen for every team. I mean, last night the Yankees played the Tampa Bay Rays. When they got every guy they brought out of the, I mean, they don't even have starters anymore. They have like their bullpen does it. They have a guy they have that starts the game, pitches an inning or two, throws 100 miles an hour. Then they bring another guy in that throws 100 miles an hour. So you know bullpens are strong. So teams can go another nine innings and burn out bullpens, and it screws you up for a month. So this way you don't do that. This way, you know, you got guys that you just start with the guys at second base, nobody out, and you see what you do. What do you think?
I think it's really cool. I do have a question strategically. Is it based on the order who ends up at second, or they get to pick like their best base
yeah,
runner?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that. I mean, I just heard that it was happening.
Because
you know?
Imagine having a guy who's either great at stealing bases or a really, really fast base runner, and you just get to put him out there, and that being your advantage in extra innings.
That could be. And again, I think that's an amazing, do I like it? I don't even know if I like it or not. You know, in my mind, I feel like I don't like changing things that I don't think need to be changed. I don't like, because it was rough on a team. Say you have one game where, you know, your pitcher has to pitch, you know, or you go to extra innings and you got to bring relievers in because the game goes 18 innings. You know, that doesn't happen a whole lot. And I feel like, but then you think about it, you think, boy, this is kind of an exciting thing to bring to baseball. So it's interesting to see what this could do. And if it, and this is a rule that I think would maybe enhance extra innings a little bit more. And if what you can do is you can pick who you want to go to second base, that'd be kind of neat too. But then you couldn't do it the second time. So you got to kind of be, maybe you can only use one guy at one time, you know? I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. We got Butch on the text line, on the phone line. I don't know where Butch is from, but Butch.
All right, Butch, good morning.
Well, good morning, Jesse. Oh, it's, how are you?
Well, Butch Paul, my dad. How are you?
Ah.
I'm good. I know you're off this because you just got off the phone with Coach Becker, but
yeah.
Something I've always been curious about, and I wish I had talked to you before this because, yeah, you could have asked him this. But I used to ask Rich Alercio, who used to coach at Castle, the same question in recruiting. How do they know who to go after?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What level of kid? I mean, obviously they're competing against everybody. And, I mean, UVM doesn't recruit all over the country, but – I mean, they don't go to California, I don't think, to recruit. But how do they know what level kid works for them? How do they know when they watch a kid play, how do they know he's not going to be interested, or he's a Division I guy or Division II guy or Division III guy? Or how do they know that?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think, and again, I wish I had that question. That's part of the business of recruiting. And I think it's more than just Becker. I think it's his staff and something you have to do all year. I just think it's collecting information and picking who you think you can get and talking, you know, maybe looking at the kind of character the kid has, what kind of grades he gets. Is he going to fit in Vermont? You do all your homework on him. But I don't know. That's what I mean. It's a full-time job to be a big-time college basketball coach. But aren't you impressed with what he's done here at Vermont? I mean, you have to be impressed with what John Becker's done here at UVM.
No, you are. Obviously, you have to be. He's the caliber of kid he's brought in, how competitive they've been, the schedule he's willing to play. I mean, all those things make sense. But I'm just you wonder. I mean, how smart these guys are to be able to watch a kid play to go to Boston at a high school basketball game and watch a kid play and say he's a mid-level college basketball player, or he's a Division I college basketball player. How do they know that?
Good question. We'll have to ask that next time he's on.
Great scouts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I mean, you were a highly recruited athlete. I mean, you know, they came from all over the country to see you.
All over the country, yeah. But Alercio, I used to ask Alercio the same question when he was recruiting Division III for Castleton in football. And he'd say, you don't always know. You know, you see a kid and you're thinking, okay, he won't want to go to UMass. He won't want to go to Rutgers. He'll want to go. And there was never a concrete answer. That always made me curious how they know when they're recruiting us all these other schools. How do they know that this kid will go to Albany, or this kid will really be good at Albany, or this kid will be really good at Hofstra, or this kid will be good at UVM, and a team like Villanova wouldn't be interested? How do they know that?
Well, it's a good question. It's something we can talk about later on in the show because we are up against a break. But great call, Dad. We'll always appreciate when you call in, brother. Have a great day.
Back to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take a quick break. When we come back. Come on, Jeff. You're better than that. When we come back, it's out in left field, and you're not going to want to miss this one. This is a good one. Don't go anywhere.
Want to hear something weird? It's out in left field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
I don't know if this is weird. Yeah, I don't know if it's weird, but it's fun. I mean, I'm glad everybody's okay, but it's funny. Go ahead.
Out in left field, Phillies fan hit in the face and injured by a giant wiener.
Of course. And if it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen in Philadelphia. I just got to say that.
To be frank, the fanatic has landed in hot water. Kathy McVeigh was sitting behind home plate at the Phillies vs. Cardinals game at Citizen Bank Park on Monday when the team's mascot began shooting hot dogs out of his launcher. One had some extra mustard on it and struck McVeigh in the face. It was a worst-case scenario, and she couldn't react in time to catch it due to a shoulder injury that will soon require surgery. It hit me like a ton of bricks. My glasses flew, she said.
Wait a minute, she's got to have surgery because a hot dog hit her?
No, that was already an injury she had, which is why she couldn't catch the hot
understood,
dog.
Understood, okay.
The Frankfurter, wrapped in duct tape, left her with a small hematoma in the eye and requires surgery.
They're wrapping hot dogs in duct tape in Philadelphia and shooting them out of a gun? Only in Philadelphia. Only in Philadelphia.
And requires ice every 20 minutes. McVay also had to undergo a CT scan to see if she had a concussion. The Phillies would like McVay to relish the experience of another game at Citizens Bank Park and have given her free tickets she can redeem later this season.
You know what's funny about that story? Now, you know, is I saw an interview with her. She got black eyes, like two black eyes from getting hit with this hot dog. Yeah, she's a good sport about it. I got to give her credit because, you know, in this day and age, you get hit with a hot dog and knocks you out like that, like you're suing. I mean, they're not called the Phillies anymore. They're named after you. And she just wants a couple free tickets. You got to give her some props. But what's going on in Philly? You're shooting hot dogs at people. People want T-shirts and they want like tchotchkes. They don't want a duct tape hot dog.
It's like a
number 8 SM flying at your head.
Like a giant rubber hot dog. I saw the picture. It's hysterical.
I mean, who's just shooting hot dogs? I mean, it's killer funny, but only in Philadelphia. Only in city of Philadelphia. The Phillies are playing better baseball. The Philadelphia Eagles are the world champions. Villanova is a national champion. A lot of good things happen to Philadelphia fans. There's the fanatic shooting a rock hard, taped up hot dogs at fans. That's unbelievable. It's a great story. We should have our angry Philly fan on, AC on for that one.
Yeah, we'll bring him back.
Yeah, I should have called him about that. If I had any idea this is what you were picking today, I would have absolutely called AC to get a comment on that. If AC, if you're listening out in Philadelphia, some of you do listen, give us a buzz on what you think about the duct tape hot dogs of Fanatics shooting at your fans.
Fanatics and
unbelievable.
Hot water.
Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And that poor woman had to have a CT scan. She got two black eyes. She couldn't move because of her shoulder injury, all because of a hot dog. Can you imagine going to the emergency room for that? I just got hit with a duct tape hot dog out of a howitzer. I need a CT scan. Oh, my God. Only in Philadelphia and only the Fanatic. All right, kiddo. Sports Center time. Go get them.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
All right, rant over, but I had to say it.
And Bernie Siplicki.
I have to.
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki, my co-host, is out today, so we're flying solo. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation here. You can join us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number because, you know, the kids, that's what they do now. They text. They tweet and everything else, too, but I have no clue about that. I have an Instagram account. I'm terrible at it. I got a Twitter account. Don't understand that either. I'm a good Facebooker, though. I'm a really good Facebooker. I'm a terrible tweeter. I'm a terrible Instagrammer. I know nothing about that stuff.
Do you dodge the clickbait well?
What does that mean?
The stories on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, the things I want to tell you.
Dermatologists hate him.
Oh, yeah, no. I try to stay away from that stuff. I don't get into that stuff. Anyway, look, I want to get into this right now. We have two very special guests in studio right now, Don and Bernadette Pearson. Good morning. Thanks for coming in, you guys. What's happening today?
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for having us.
Good morning.
You know, it's been a crazy show today. Bernie calls out sick late last minute, but I was like, you know, I was very calm today being doing this long because I knew you guys were coming in today. I'm excited to talk about, first of all, your son. You guys are the heads of the Stephen Pearson Foundation and the Conquer the Day soccer tournament that's coming up July 14th. First of all, let's talk about what the foundation's doing. We're fighting cancer. Your son battled it valiantly. And let me just say this about your son. One of the finest young men I have ever met. I've met a lot of people in my day. He was a brilliant young man. And there is a soccer ball at Ramonto's that he brought back for me. I met your son only a couple times. And he was with his best friend and brought back a ball signed by the U.S. national team, and Make-A-Wish gave that opportunity for him to get to Brazil to go to that World Cup.
Actually,
is that how that worked?
Actually, Jeff, what happened was Make-A-Wish, we found out when we were trying to give him something to take his mind off of chemo and look forward to something, he had aged out of that. We didn't realize that Make-A-Wish had stopped at 17.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the genesis of our foundation. One of his high school buddies did crowdsourcing for this trip, and he always wanted to go to a World Cup.
Of course.
So this fit right in, and that's kind of how what we want to play forward to give these kids battling cancer a chance to think of something other and plan for something other than chemo.
So this whole organization is built on for kids that are a little older than the Make-A-Wish age.
Absolutely.
Oh, they talk about now. This is the stuff that you see. This is what gets me about our media today is that we should be talking about you every day. I mean it. Like, just think about what you two are doing here in the name of your phenomenal son. And I got it. If you have a chance, go. How do you people? You sent me that information on YouTube, which is unbelievable. Like, I want that. I'm going to post that myself on my Facebook page. I put it on my Twitter and my Instagram, but I have no clue how to do that. But it's if you want to know more about this organization and what this means to people and what this what you guys have done, how can people go to that video that you sent me?
So it's basically on a link on one on our website, conquertheday.org, and then you just type RETN and the video will come up.
I'm telling you, everybody, do yourself a favor, and we'll talk more about the website before you leave so people can go to that and check it out. So let's talk about the tournament. July 14th, I'm all over the place here, you can tell. I mean, first of all, it's grown into this great thing. And the thing that I think it's cool is you have kind of like a metro feel, right? The metro conference, you have all the power schools alumni coming together, correct, to play in this tournament.
Right, so our capstone event is offered in the late afternoon and evening, and it's the Division I high school teams coming together, battling for bragging rights, basically.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the final event, the championship under the lights on Virtue Field. So it's great. You see a lot of old, you know, teams. The rivalry, of course, is just as great as it always was, but yet the camaraderie between all the players.
Oh, yeah.
There. So it's just a wonderful, high-energy place. It's great.
And it's darn good soccer.
Oh, I can imagine. Because if you think of the athletes that have played at these schools, so you're talking about the metro power. So Essex, South Burlington, Colchester, CVU, Burlington. Who else is Mount Mansfield?
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about the Power Six, okay? You're talking about some teams, and there's a lot of state championships in there, a lot of Division I athletes in there, and
a lot of Gatorade players in there.
Yeah, I mean, there is some of the best soccer players over the years that have played in Vermont played at those schools.
Absolutely.
And so now you have an opportunity to see these guys come back and compete. I mean, how awesome is that?
It's really great.
And the other thing that's in there is like these kids are coming back, they're reconnecting with their classmates, the parents who have grown up with soccer, are reconnecting with their other parents. It's a really good feeling.
I can just imagine the team moms are back. You know, I can just see all the, you know, the CVU fan. I just kind of figure. I can imagine all the little arrogance that goes on with that. That must be a lot of fun as well. But it's not just for them. You have other age groups, and it's for boys and girls.
Absolutely. So we have, you know, youth all the way up through adults. So we have 6 youth brackets, boys and girls, and then we have 2 adult brackets, competitive and a fun. So, yeah, we've got kids all the way from age 10 all the way up to age 60 out there playing soccer.
That's me.
Through the day.
Yeah. and it's all at UVM. It's at Virtue Field, at the best facility in the state.
Yes.
You guys have this great event at UVM. How great is that they're a part of this?
It's wonderful. We really appreciate UVM offering us the venue again this year. It makes for a fun place, a great place to play. We have concession stand. We have a lot of wonderful raffle items there. So, you know, it's just to come down, spend the day. It's fascinating.
I mean, you don't have a kid that wants to play, or you know your kids don't play soccer, you want to go watch some good stuff and watch some talent, and also giving to such an organization. I mean, what a special organization this has become. I mean, just getting a little bit educated, because obviously I've known you guys for a couple of years, but to think what you're doing here is you know Make-A-Wish is one of my favorite organizations in the world. I love Make-A-Wish Foundation. Their stories are spectacular, but obviously there's an age cutoff there, and now what you're saying is we're going to hand off, you know, to the next phase. And you're hand in hand with another great organization. I mean, this is a special idea. And like I said, your son was absolutely a spectacular young man. And you know, this is exciting for me. So let's talk about now. Do you have room yet for people to still sign up? Are you looking for teams?
Absolutely, we do have room.
How do we do that? How do they sign up?
So you go on to conquertheday.org, and right there on the front page, there's a register your team. You hit that button, it takes you right in there. You register the color, you get a free T-shirt, your team gets a free T-shirt, you register your color, make the payment. And if you don't have a full roster, you know, just pick the color, get your roster before July 14th, and you're all set to go.
Now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So these are 6v6 short-sided games, so it's not a huge team that you need. We like to have about 10 because we give away 10 T-shirts per team, but if you can make it all day, you don't need subs. You just need 6.
If it was me putting a team in, we need to have like 35. If you knew some of my friends.
I'm with you, Jeff.
It would be pretty ugly over there. All right, so your son got to go to the World Cup in Brazil, and not only did he go to the World Cup, he was like front and center. This wasn't like he was going sitting in the nosebleed section. This guy, your son was like right in the middle of it. The pictures, I mean, he brought me back some amazing pictures. What an experience it had to be. Did he? I'm sure he shared some of the stories from Brazil with you guys.
He did. I mean, they got to, you know, they got to look at all the different venues, which meant traveling from the coast all the way to the interior. You know, he got to swim in the Amazon River with the parting of the rivers.
Wait, hold on. There's like crocodiles in there and big snakes.
Yeah, Willie didn't go in, but Stefan did.
Yeah, I can see Willie not going in. I can see that.
So, you know, he had a lot of fun, and he connected, obviously, with the men's soccer team after their unfortunate loss. But they were very, very gracious. They all spent a lot of time with him. They signed a jersey, obviously signed the ball.
Yeah.
You know, Tom King still, he's the men's manager. He actually, and the women's manager both, but he sends us an item to raffle off every year at a tournament. So just a wonderful community, and he had a great time.
So speaking of community, there's the local soccer clubs have been very supportive of us. New England Revs have sent us tickets to go to home games
as
a fundraiser, and Tom King at the national level is giving us stuff to do that. So it's been kind of really nice to see all that level of support. And especially businesses like yours, Jeff, that have been coming back year after year. We really, really appreciate it.
Right. I was just going to say, not only the sponsors, our soccer clubs, but we also have just great outpouring of, you know, businesses to basically support this tournament, you know, with all of our costs. So we really appreciate all the sponsorship.
And it keeps growing. I mean, every year this just gets bigger and bigger.
So the first year we had 28 teams. Last year we had 40 teams. There's room for more this year, so sign up for conquertheday.org and come with some teams.
And it's not just about conquer. I mean, this year I know you guys are kind of, you know, this is the big event this year, but you guys have done other things.
Yes, we do. We have like a cabaret. Some high school students put on a wonderful cabaret every year at Snow Farm Vineyard, which brings in some money. We've got another $1,000 from Patrick O'Hare, the Gatorade Player of the Year. He donates his $1,000 again this year to our club, which we're our foundation, which we're really appreciative of. So yeah, we do have other activities.
That this is unbelievable. If you want to join the conversation, ask questions, see if you want to talk to Don and Bernadette here on 655-6672 on Sports Saturday. We have plenty of time with you guys this morning. Now, are you watching the World Cup at all? Are you engaged?
We're watching a little bit, and some of the things that, like Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He's got 4 goals now, and it's pretty impressive.
And Messi, right? I mean, the thing about Messi to me is, guys like Ronaldo and Messi, because we're in the United States, and if you're not watching a lot of soccer, they're kind of like figments of your imagination. Like, they're not real people. And then you watch, and you're like, oh, my God, there they are. Oh, my God. And then you see Messi miss a PK, and now they're on the verge of being ousted. You know, obviously, Nigeria won yesterday, so they're still alive statistically here, so they still have a shot. But it's interesting to watch these guys play and the competitiveness here. But I said on my show last week, I'm salty the United States is not in this thing.
Yeah,
it's disappointing that they're not in this, because this is the type of tournament this year that they could be really competitive in.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
It really is. But I'll tell you, the quality of soccer is spectacular. And Ronaldo, I mean, you know, he comes on the, I mean, all of a sudden, boom. And what was it, 5 seconds in and he's got to be scoring a goal? I mean, that guy's unbelievable. Yeah, all you do is, he just needed to change that statue that they did. You see a statue they did him? But I think they fixed, have you ever seen the statue?
I didn't see it.
Oh my goodness. Go online. They built this statue for him somewhere. And it is the most goofy looking statue. Like his face. I mean, he's one of the best looking dudes in the world.
He is.
I mean, he's like one of the most handsome guys in the world. And he looked like me in that statue. Okay? Like, it just was not pretty.
That bust was really bad.
Oh, it was bad. I think they fixed it, though. Not as bad as Brady Chastain's bust. Did you see that one as well? I don't know who's doing these busts. Like, they say, hey, Aaron, you want to make a bust of Brandi Chastain? I mean, she looked like, Peter King from Sports Illustrated. She didn't look like Brandi Chastain.
This person was a professional, and I think they did have, she got the chance to redo it, and I think it came out better the second time.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have an anecdote that Stefan brought back with us after that heartbreaking loss in Belgium in the 2014 World Cup. And so he went down to eat lunch with the team and have a discussion. And after the Belgian game, Tim Howard was talking to Stefan, and the anecdote was, Stefan, I can't spend a lot of time with you because I have to do this random drug test because they didn't believe that he was Superman in the goal.
No kidding.
That's an amazing story. Had the amazing number of saves.
Yeah. So Tim Howard, the U.S. national team goalkeeper. Yeah. So he's having lunch with your son and he says, I got to go have a drug test because they want to make sure that I'm not, you know, doping up.
Right.
That's a great story. Well, guys, listen, I have to tell you that and again, I'm not trying to beat it here. I mean, he was a special kid. And I remember when he walked into my restaurant with the ball, and I'd only met him a couple times. And he came in with his buddy Willie. And I'd known Willie, you know, not great, but he's like, Jeff, I just want you to have this for the restaurant. And I thought to myself, here is just a really special young man that thought enough, because he came in here to eat pizza once in a while, because he wanted to have it in there. I always thought about how special a kid he was. And you know, and obviously the apple didn't fall far from the tree because you two were unbelievable. So listen, let's talk about how we sign up. How do people get a hold of you again to sign up?
You can Google Conquer the Day. It comes right up, the Stefan Pearson Foundation. Click on that. Go to our website. On our homepage, there's a button to click to get right in to register your team. There's all other places you can go to find out what we're all about, what we're trying to do, and how you can help volunteer, donate.
Yeah, you are still looking for donations, right? So if people want to donate to this cause, this is a year-round thing, you guys. It's not just about this tournament. I mean, think about this for a second. You know, if you are an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old that's battling this horrible disease, you know, you just need to be distracted. And that's what this was, you know, for your son. I mean, mean, it was a distraction to send him to Brazil. And think about that. I mean, here's a guy that got to swim in the Amazon River. I'm going to tell you something. I would never be going in the Amazon River, number one. But, I mean, you know, this is just what you're doing is, I mean,
Those wish adventures are what we're all about. We're trying to play that forward and give those kids the same kind of diversion and experience.
So we are aligned with the University of Vermont Medical Center, and we have a doctor there, and she's the one who helps us identify cases that would benefit.
Oh, I was going to ask that question. You have help that people will identify.
Absolutely. Yeah, so she's on our board. She's on our board of advisors, and she's in the University of Vermont Medical Center. She identifies cases that she thinks would benefit most from this opportunity. And then we work with the social workers at the University of Vermont Medical Center to make it all happen.
And this from anybody from all over the country can work with you? Or is this a Vermont thing?
No, this is a Vermont thing.
This is just for
or
Vermont.
A Vermonter that's being treated at the Boston.
Understood.
Somewhere at Boston. So we're hopeful to grow, but right now we're just Vermont.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, you guys. I don't know if there is a more worthwhile organization than this Conquer the Day soccer tournament and the Stephen Pearson Foundation. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today, Don and Bernadette. Your role models, your leaders. And I got to tell you something. Your son was a special, but what you're doing is absolutely amazing, and we love you, and we're going to root for you, and we will put all this information on our Twitter feed. You're going to have to do that, though, okay, Aaron? Because I'm not into the Twitter world, okay? So we're going to Instagram all this. We're going to get the information on 101.3 ESPN's website so people can try to join as well, and we'll get this out for you as well. And you take a zillion teams, you get them, right?
Yes,
no matter what.
Yes, we've got room.
Who's going to organize all these games? I mean, who's going to in charge of that?
We've got a tournament director, Michelle Coles.
Is he at home going like, no more?
She's very good at what she did.
And it's a 1 or 2 day event?
It's a one-day event, right?
It's a one-day event. Oh, my God. God.
Eight to ten.
Did I say I need 35 teammates if I was going to play one day of soccer?
So we want to invite spectators out too, and we have tasty hot dogs at our concessions, but we're not encouraging them to be thrown.
Okay, we're not going to shoot them like they do in Philadelphia. You're not going to get hit in the eye with a flying hot dog. You eat them in Vermont. In Philadelphia, you shoot them at people. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Is there a cost for anyone that comes? Is it a donation type thing?
It's by donation.
That's awesome.
Cost.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's free, but you know, hopefully people would donate if they thought the soccer was good enough play to donate.
Yeah, well, if I know the athletes that are going to be there, I know the types of athletes that are going to be there, it's probably some of the best soccer you're going to see in the country, in the state at least, all year. There's no question about that. Guys, thank you so much for being here today. I'm honored to have you in here. We're going to get this thing done, and God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jeff, for having us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little baseball. Okay, I mean, you know, the Yankees, they got beat last night, but we can talk a little baseball. The Red Sox won. You know, life's good if you're a Sox fan. They're catching up on the Yanks. I get it. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
I mean, I'm not as tall and I don't have the hair and I'm not good looking, but I mean, other than that, Tom Brady and I are a lot alike.
And Bernie Siplicki.
No.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Just had a great conversation in studio with Don and Bernadette Pearson, the heads of the Stephen Pearson Foundation. The Conquer the Day soccer tournament on July 14th at beautiful, beautiful UVM. I mean, Virtue Field is spectacular. Sign up now. We're going to get that information out to you, but check them out on their website and look up Conquer the Day online to the Stephen Pearson Foundation. What they're doing is absolutely spectacular. I mean, I can't even begin to go on about what they're doing. You know, where Make-A-Wish ends. You know, from where they're at, you know, their breach ends, these guys take over. You know, and for people that are battling that horrible disease of cancer, there's nothing more important than this. Those two people are angels. They're angels, and their son was one of the real special people that our state had and this world had. So we miss him, but I'll tell you right now, his memory is living on between his parents because what they're doing is spectacular. So check that thing out, July 14th at UVM, full-day soccer tournament. Can't beat that. I'm telling you, and the talent that's going to be there, I mean, that's going to be some good. I'm going to be there. Can't wait. I won't be playing, though. A full day of soccer for the old coach here isn't going to happen, Aaron. It's going to be rough. It'd be ugly. It'd be really ugly. I mean, I don't want people to leave. You know, you want people to donate. If I start playing, it's going to be ugly. My players will be making fun of me too all season, so I don't want to be dealing with that. But check that out, the Conquer the Day soccer tournament, one of the beautiful things that this community is special anyway, but this is one of the real special events, and it just keeps growing every year. If you got a team you want to get in, look up Conquer the Day and check it out, the Stephen Pearson Foundation. Don and Bernadette, keep up the good work. We talked earlier here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. If you want to call and talk to us, 655-6672 is the number to call, or you can text me on the text line, 802, which is the Town Fair Tire text line. the Town Fair Tire text line, my favorite song.
Town Fair Tire.
Boom. Bing. At 802-655-6672 if you want to join our conversation. I had mentioned earlier, kind of was a crazy segment there, but the Lake Monsters earlier this week were in extra innings. And when they went to their extra innings, they are testing out, it looks like. Looks like Major League Baseball might be testing out on these single A games. Players at second base to start extra inning games. And then, you know, whoever, if you score, if you're the away team and you score, you know, then the home team has a shot. If they don't score, the game's over. And if the visiting team doesn't score, or however many runs they score, you know, that's where the game ends, which will save bullpens. And you know that I have said many times on this show that I am 100% against changing some of these games. Like, there's nothing I hate more or get more annoyed at. I shouldn't say hate. I don't hate it. I get annoyed at it. That, you know, a group of people sit down and say, baseball's too slow, so we got to do this. Or football is too this, so we got to do that. It bugs me. You know, baseball's not broken. You know, people will say, oh, it's too slow. They'll come out and say, how can you watch all those games? There's too many of them, and they take 3 hours or 4 hours. They don't watch it because there's millions and millions and millions of people that do watch it. And my next point is that the reason that, you know, teams, if your team isn't any good, you're not going to watch. I would say the same thing if your football team, if your favorite football team is any good, you're not going to watch that. You're not going to be consistent with it. If your favorite basketball team isn't very good, you're not going to be consistently watching that either. But when you put a good product on the field, people are going to watch it. That's business. You have a good product, people buy it. You don't have a good product, people don't buy it. It's reality. But this rule I kind of like, because this rule reminds me a little bit of college football's overtime rule, which I love. Which each team gets it at the 20, or what is it, 20 or 25 yard line?
25 yard line.
25 yard line going in. You know, and they got to score, who either score a touchdown or a field goal or nothing, and the next team has a chance, and if they get more points you need, you win. Though that is I think that's so exciting. I wish the NFL would adapt that overtime program. And if baseball did this for extra innings, I think that's kind of neat. Now, I don't know enough rules. You know, I just heard about this like 12 hours ago, so I don't know if you can pick who you put out at second base. You know, I don't know how that works. I would assume that you can put anybody out there you want, but you probably just can't do it every inning. But maybe you can do it every inning. Who knows?
Yeah, you may need a different player every inning. I don't think it makes sense to have it be based on the order or based on something else that's arbitrary, because then you're putting the distinct advantage of having a player on second base in the hands of chance.
Hold on a minute. I understand what you're saying, but if you have a person at second base with nobody out, you have an advantage. I don't care if it's me at second base. I mean, you know, that's where strategy comes in. You know, most people aren't going to steal third, just so you understand. Like, I know, I mean, you're not going to, let's just say you had Ricky Henderson, the greatest base stealer of all time, you know, you may put him at second, he may try, but chances are he's not going to try to steal third. You got to figure out you're either going to get him around or whatever. So it doesn't really matter.
I'm more imagining in an NL game having your pitcher be next in the order, and that's how they do it, and he ends up on second, and then he busts his ACL trying to run to third.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
I think they tie together too pretty well. Though, like, the longer these games go on, the bigger risk that is, which is part of why this rule is important, is that you have to shorten these games after the ninth inning because they can't go 15.
Well, but why can't they? I guess that's another question I have, is why can't they go 15? But I like what this is. And again, you know, you don't see a lot of games going 15 innings. You know, it's not like you see these every week. You see them maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. A game will go 16 innings, 17 innings. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's rare, but it has consequences, where typically when that happens, there's an increased risk of injury, and it sort of alienates some of the fans at the park. They can't stay there for that. That's not realistic to expect. So it hurts viewership a little bit, but the bigger problem, I think, is that it has a serious increased risk of injury.
Okay, I mean, fair enough. I mean, point taken, and sure, there's a risk for injury, but there's a risk for injury when I walk out this door. I mean, there's a talk about pitchers running, which is a DH question that we can tackle, but we're talking here now extra inning games. I like this idea, but whoever you put out there, you put out there. You know, yes, if you play more innings, there's a chance of injury. I don't think the injury is more of an issue. I think it's just wearing out your bullpen. And now all of a sudden you've got a team that goes 16, 17, 18 innings, and now their bullpen is screwed up for the next 2 weeks. So that's the bigger issue. I think when it comes to this, though, I like it. I like the idea of this. I don't care who you put out there. Put a pitcher to run. I don't care who's running. But I'm just saying, I like this idea. I think it's exciting. But again, when it comes to baseball, I'm a big baseball fan. I love baseball. So if I pay 89, 90 bucks, 95 bucks to go watch a baseball game and it goes 15 innings, if I want to stay, I'm going to stay. I mean, you're not going to ball games nowadays because you got to date at 6 o'clock. I mean, professional games are events. You know, you're it's a day. You're going there for the game. I mean, you're not going there like, oh, this game's going 15. You can't expect me to stay here for the 15th inning. Fair enough. Go home. But I mean, it's an event. You're not, you know, you're not, hey, I'm going to go to a game tonight. So I'm going to, you know, but I'm going to leave by 10 because I want to make sure I get home. They got good chicken wings and, you know, my fast food place closes at 11. That's usually not how it works.
It also presents an interesting possibility of increased walk-offs. Because
you don't
have to get a single homer to get a walk-off early. You could just get like a double.
Oh, yeah, get anything. You could bunt them over, hit a fly ball, and there's your walk-off. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the games are going to go faster, and then the strategy comes into it. You're going to let the guys swing away. You're trying to hit the other way. You're going to bunt them over. I mean, a lot of things go into it. I like the idea. I think it's kind of exciting. And I wish the NFL would adapt the college football rule. This reminds me, I don't know if people are going to be like, how are you going to do baseball and football? But it's the reason that the college football is they want scoring quickly. This is what this is for baseball. I kind of like it. For all the rules that they're changing, you know, you can't go out to the mounds more than six times a game. And, you know, there's a shot, there's a pitch clock for the pitchers and all this stuff. I mean, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can't step out much. This is a rule I kind of like. Kind of exciting.
And then the other way, they're both, the rules are similar because they're both about scoring volume, which is another area where, in terms of the viewers being alienated by longer baseball games, you could fix that and still have a 13-inning game. Because
you're not a baseball fan, are you? You're not a baseball fan.
You are
not a baseball fan. You are a football fan, baby. You like the hitting and the scoring and all the hoopla and all that stuff. That's what you are. Because baseball fans get it. Go ahead. You don't have to raise your hand. You can just talk.
My point, it's not about me. It's an issue that's been discussed on national platforms consistently.
Of course, I'm sure.
There are a lot of baseball fans even who they love the 9-inning, like 1-0 in the ninth, but they can't sit there and watch 14 innings. But maybe having more scoring and more chances for scoring in extra innings means you can sit there and watch 13 innings because you're watching and this guy on second is making things happen.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that because that's what they say nationally, that I got to believe this?
No.
What I'm just saying here is that to me, baseball's baseball, and that's what baseball's been. I like this idea. I'm not arguing with you the idea. I love the idea. But baseball is a game of, you know, hey, you know, I'm into pitching duels sometimes, and then you watch, like last night, the Red Sox were not a pitcher's duel. It was 14-12 or something. I don't know what the score was, but they scored a ton of runs. I mean, that's what baseball is. You don't know what you're going to get. You just never know.
Yeah,
but again, like my argument is, David, it's like we just have. It's like every time we have a game, we have a game or we have a week where there's not enough scoring. Oh, we got to do something about that. Oh, we have a game where there's too much scoring. Oh, we got to do something about that. You got some rookie that's tearing it up. Oh my God, we got to do something about that. I mean, it's like we're so instinctual. It's like every second, if something goes bad, we got to fix that immediately. I mean, come on, baseball's been around forever. It's been around forever and ever. You know, and again, I get it. It's not for everybody. And in today's day and age of fast pace, quick, you want everything quick. You know, you want to get your scores quick. You want to get your news quick. You want to get your food quick. You want to get everything quick. Baseball may not be your thing. But at the end of the day, if your product is good, there is nothing more exciting than a baseball game. I mean, people are diehard fans of baseball. Diehard fans of baseball. You know, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like the game. I mean, there's nothing like the game anywhere. I mean, so it is what it is. Whether you like it or not is up to you.
And I'm not like trying to throw things in your face to argue with your purist view. What I'm actually trying to get at, I think, is that if as long as other baseball purists are on the same page as you, that this is okay. This could get everyone on the same page because it's going to start fulfilling the things that other people feel like are lacking in extra innings in baseball. And if it doesn't bother purist fans, then they'll still be happy too.
No, I agree. And I don't think this is a good idea. My point is we don't have a lot of extra inning games in baseball. That's my point. We don't have a lot of like an extra inning game, a long game in baseball, maybe 10 or 11 innings. You don't see 12, 13, 14, 15, and then after that. I mean, you don't see a lot of those. You see those maybe two or three a year.
Yeah, those are rare.
Those are rare. That's what I'm saying. But I do like this idea, and I think it definitely protects bullpens. I think that's definitely a big factor. And I kind of liked it. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But I don't know anything about the rule. That's what I'm saying. Like, this was a surprise to me. This was told to me like 8 hours ago. Last night at Vermontos, a customer of mine said, hey, did you happen to hear what happened at the Lake Monster game? They're sticking guys at second base in extra innings. I'm like, ooh, I like that. It's kind of interesting and exciting. All of a sudden, you sit a game that's a 1-1 game the whole game, and you got a runner at second base with nobody out. Let's see what happens. I'm with you, Aaron, on that. I do like it, but I am cautious about changing rules. So I do like the fact that if this is what Major League Baseball is doing, is that they're testing it out on some of the minor league situations, just like college basketball did in the CBI a few years ago with the shot clock being shorter. You know, that was a little bit. You know, they've tried things to see if it works. I like it. I'm all about it. And I will say this, you know. I got to tell you, in terms of the baseball situation, we only have a couple minutes left in this thing. My next question that we're not getting to because we kind of went off on this for a while is, Yankees, Red Sox are going to be neck and neck all year in the American League East. There's no question. The two best teams with Houston, probably the three best teams in baseball. But I don't know what's more important now. If you're a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan, is what do you rather have? Would you rather have the bullpen, or would you rather have the starting rotation? Like, would you rather have the Red Sox rotation, which on paper is filthy good when they're healthy? Sale, Price, Pomerantz. I mean, Rodriguez. They have a really good starting rotation, but they have a bullpen that's questionable, except for the end of it with Kimbrel. He's spectacular. Or do you want the Yankees, who's got a lights out number one in Severino? Then after that, we have no clue. But after the fifth inning, this bullpen is disgustingly good. I mean, the Yankees bullpen is arguably one of the best bullpens in baseball. So now it's like, do the Yankees need to give up on these kids to go get a Hamels? Or, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to happen with the Mets with DeGrom or Syndergaard. But, or do you just say, you know what, this is who we have, and we're going to hope that we can outslug people, and if we have a lead in the fifth inning, the game's over?
I think it depends. It's about offense in terms of which one you can make work, because I haven't followed the Yankees very closely, but they're winning despite not having the phenomenal starting rotation. I think part of that is because they have enough offense that they don't need to be able to keep other teams to zero. And the Red Sox, they have good offense. They're not as good as the Yankees, I would say, but good.
No, the Red Sox, well, on paper, well, the Mookie. Red Sox have, I mean, no, Mookie and Jay, I mean, and, Yankee, JD Martinez. Red Sox, the truth is with the Yankees, none of those guys are having career years except for the rookies, because we don't know who they are, really. Andujar and Torres are having lights out years, but I mean, and Judge is having a big year, but the rest of those guys, they're all underachieving. The Yankees could get better offensively, and I know we're up against a break here, but I will just say, you know, it's hard to say, because the Yankee bullpen is so good. It's so good. And they literally can throw you a power arm at you from the fourth inning on. That do you need to go out and do that? I mean, the Yankee starting rotation, it hasn't been as great in terms of names, but they've done a really good job. I mean, they've pitched well. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know. There's so few great arms right now, starting-wise, that are going to be on the market, and they're going to want a ransom from the Yankees. And I think you just roll the dice what you have.
I think it's hardly fair as either one of those teams to complain about what you have.
Yeah, well, I agree with it. But the Yankees are a bunch of kids. That's the thing you have to look at. The Yankees are the seventh highest payroll. They're not the number one payroll anymore. They're top 10, but they're not the number one. So the Yankees are full of kids. And I got to tell you, with the guys that they have in the minor leagues, I don't know if the pitchers out there, for the exception of maybe DeGrom, are worth giving up all those kids when you have a bullpen like the Yankees do. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's Aaron's segment, baby. Hot or not, coming right at you. Don't go anywhere.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not, powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I gotta tell you, this studio is unbelievable. Like, it's Hot or Not time here, if you don't know the music, and it just went up like 35 degrees in like 10 seconds.
It was cold a couple seconds
ago.
It
was. I'm in a sweatshirt. I was chilly, and now I'm like, I'm going to be decking this thing off. My goodness. All right, it's Hot or Not time.
Hot or Not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early, as hours are subject to change if they sell out.
And they do sell out, man, because those cupcakes are insanely good. Do yourself a favor, go check them out in Williston Taft Corner Shopping Center. They have some good cupcakes. Tell them we sent you too. It's always good to have them say, Jeff, they heard you on the radio. That's why they came in. I love that when Joe and tells me that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Hot or not, DH will be a universal position within 3 to 5 years in the MLB.
I'm going to say not. I think it should be. I think when you I think when you look at the way pitchers are treated this nowadays and how much money. I mean, look at what happened with Tanaka. And people are going to say, oh, you're just a Yankee homer, Jeff. All you care about are the Yankees. You know, if it didn't happen to anybody else. But Chin Ming Wong, another Yankee pitcher that was pitching really good 10 years ago, National League Park, blows his leg out, never was the same. You know, the Yankees lost a pitcher. It happens all the time. And especially, I think, when you look at how much money they're making nowadays, Aaron, I think it's important to think, like, you know, pitchers are treated so softly. I mean, they don't do anything. I mean, they're really taken care of. They make them have to go out and hit. And it's not fun to watch. I mean, nobody want to watch. I mean, it's not fun for them when they get up to hit. When they get a hit once every month, you know, you think, oh, wow, but it's not exciting. I think bring the DH in, but I'm cold on it because there's no way the NL is going to do it. They've been holding the AL hostage for years.
I say hot because I think with the injuries to pitchers and the way they're getting paid now and the way they've been getting paid, it really doesn't make sense from an asset protection standpoint for this to go on any longer, where pitchers get hurt trying to play offense when they are a defensive position.
But it's not going to happen. I mean, that's the problem, is that the way the National League is and the way baseball is, it's just the National League will never change that rule. What it should be changed for is when the American League team plays National League team in the regular season, it should change. I mean, because AL teams aren't built like that. It should change that way. And NL teams will always put a professional hitter up. You know, that's not a big deal. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I think the main reason I'm hot is that, I don't know if I told you this, but this was a Buster-only prediction from Wednesday. So if it's good enough for Buster, it's good enough for me.
Well, there you go. Perfect.
The Patriots will move for Earl Thomas. Do you want the specs on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
ESPN's Mike Reese makes up the Patriots trading guard Shaq Mason to Seattle for the safety and then signing him to a 3-year, $39 million deal with $28.5 million guaranteed.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to say not. I'm going to say not because that doesn't seem to be Bill Belichick's way. Bill Belichick picks up guys that are kind of at their peak or past their peak for like off the scrap heap. You know, the guys that are kind of exiled, he kind of goes and gets those guys and brings them back. So I can't imagine him moving, especially with it here. Now we're talking about an older Brady here. You got to protect Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady is not, you know, you got to keep him upright. You got to keep him in the pocket. So I can't imagine them doing that. Now, if Earl Thomas fell to them and they got him for like bargain, then absolutely he'll be a Patriot. But I think in terms of what you just said with the specs, not happen. I say not.
I say not too. I think Shaq Mason needs more time to develop. He's too valuable as an offensive lineman on that team. I think $39 million, way too much for a safety in Bill Belichick's book, especially when he has team player Devin McCourty on the team already in place and willing to take pay cuts even if he has to win more rings. I think there's just no point in moving for a big star like Earl Thomas when you're going to have to pay him star money. He's sort of reaching the tail end of his career. He's got some injuries in his past, and he already got Devin McCourty. I'd say not.
Yeah, and it's not Belichick's way. You don't spend big money and big contracts like that on guys that aren't. He just doesn't do it. You're just not going to do it. That's not Bill Belichick's way. I don't see it happening.
Tom Brady is still a better singer than ball carrier. This takes some prefacing, so let's listen to the sound.
O's down pretty well. He's got the he's got that down. So I'm going to say Tom Brady is still a better singer than, yeah, I'd say hot. He's definitely a better singer because I tell you what, Tom Brady's one of those guys that when he's running fast, like his upper body's moving fast, but the lower body's not moving at all. It's like a cartoon. It's like a cartoon. It's crazy. So he's a much better singer. I say hot.
It's funny because you could say technically Tom Brady's never ran in his life before because technically both feet have to be off the ground at a time to be running, and he never does it.
It's like if you only saw him from the waist up, you think, boy, that dude's fast. But when you look at the bottom, it's like he's walking. It's crazy.
It's kind of a tricky one because Tom Brady does sort of have a good repertoire on the goal line, but I'm still saying hot because, wow.
Yeah, but falling forward isn't running, for the record.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That is a fair point. Although I said ball carrier, not runner.
Okay, fair enough.
The 76ers interviewing the Bridges family and then trading Michael Bridges was classless.
Not. I mean, it's business, baby. That's how they roll. I mean, this is organizations trying to bring their teams and their organizations to the next level. I mean, it's unfortunate, obviously. I'm sure that the 76ers were not the only team to interview Bridges. I can't imagine that there were probably a handful of teams that did. They drafted him. They got a trading piece that they liked, and they went with it. I mean, it's obvious. I don't use the word classless. It's probably unfortunate for a player like Bridges, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and I think he probably understands that.
Call me easily moved by emotion on TV, but I'm going to have to go hot because I watched the interview. She works for the team. Did you know that? His mother works for the team, and she was so excited about getting to work with her son on the team that she cried during the interview. And then like 20 minutes later, they traded him, and that just, it feels wrong to me. So I have to go hot.
Yeah, it's obviously tough when you pull the tears out there like that, but it's a business. And my guess is that Michael Bridges will land on his feet.
Luka Doncic will be the next Dirk in Dallas.
I mean, I'm going to say not, but maybe it could be hot. But why are you going to put that kind of pressure on that kid? You know what I mean? I mean, Dirk Nowitzki is one of the great players of all time, one of the great Mavericks of all time, won a championship with him. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, I think Luka's got a chance to be super, and he's going to probably be a great player. But to put the name Dirk on him, there's only one Dirk, baby. Only one Dirk.
Well, I think according to him, he has bigger dreams than just Dirk. He claimed this week he's going to be the next LeBron James.
Oh, the next LeBron James. Well, there you go. Well, I guess Dirk is
he's not worried about the pressure.
No, he's not worried about being Dirk. He's like, Give me break, Dirk. I'm going for LeBron, baby. Good for him.
You talk about international players, and this kid looks so talented as a young guy. I think he played one-on-one with, I can't remember who, but with a current NBA player, and apparently schooled him. So I'm
Let's be honest here with all this, though. I mean, really, if you're looking for NBA-ready players right now, you got to look overseas. These guys are the ones that are ready. You're bringing all these freshmen, these 18, 19-year-old kids out of college. I mean, they're really physically not ready yet.
Exactly.
In most cases,
this guy's been a pro since he was 15.
Exactly. I mean, you're bringing a ready NBA player right now that will, you know, look at the fate. The kids that got drafted the other day, they're babies. They're all kids.
Yeah.
18, 19 years old. I mean, they're going into the man's sport with guys that are 25, 26, 28, 30. I mean, just body types alone, you're not ready. So I think you bring him in, he can make an impact quickly. No question about that.
Yeah. So I'm going hot because I think he could be the next Dirk. The home run derby is becoming the NBA dunk contest.
Yeah. I'm hot on that. And I'm just too bad. There was nothing better in any sport than that NBA dunk contest back in the day when Jordan and Dominique were doing it. You know, that's when it was spectacular. The dunk contest now is like, who are these guys? Who's this guy dunking? I've never heard of this guy. Who's he play for? And that's what's happening. And last year, the home run derby was epic. I mean, between Judge and Stanton and the kid out of Los Angeles, Bellinger, a bunch of great players were in. It was just a spectacular show. This year, it looks like it's going to be like, who's even in it? These guys don't want to get in it. There's injuries. It really hurts their swings at times. But it's too bad because that home run derby last year was exciting.
Maybe they'll get Ichiro to go, even though he already said no.
Yeah, what's up with that anyway? Like, Ichiro is not a home run hitter. It'd be fun to go watch him swing the bat, but, like, why is Ichiro? Give me a break.
I think because it's more of a long shot to try and get him to come back and play a full game in the All-Star game.
Yeah, you might be right there.
I'm going to go not. I think the main difference with the NBA is that the reason they don't have the same star power in the dunk contest is that a lot of their stars aren't big dunkers anymore. I mean, you still have Giannis and you have LeBron, even though he's getting older, but you got guys like Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving and guys like that who are the big stars, and they don't dunk. They're shooters.
Yeah, they might be shooters, but although there's so much athleticism in the NBA. Like, I think just the fact that the biggest name in the NBA is LeBron, and the fact that he doesn't do it. If LeBron James was in the dunk contest, it could be against him and you and I against LeBron in a dunk contest. The whole world would watch because he's in it. That's what's happening. In the home run derby in baseball, all the superstars aren't participating in it. That's what's happening now. So, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, and most of the superstars are shooters now. You don't see it, but there's so much athleticism, and the fact that the best player, who is probably still the best dunker in LeBron James, no question, isn't doing it. I mean, it's just not as exciting.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely, I think, a health move. I mean, I do miss.
Oh, of course.
I miss the concept of the days where the best player in the world was also the best dunker in the world with Michael Jordan, and I think best. LeBron could keep that alive, but. You know, he's the only one right now.
Let's be honest. LeBron's not the GOAT. Michael's the GOAT. That's how it is.
I'm with you on that one. I'm hot on that one. All right. Golf needs more plays like the Phil Mickelson double putt.
You know, the first time I saw this, Aaron, I thought I was like, not, I'm against it. But then you know what? I could see myself doing that. You're just frustrated. You're like 30 over par in a course that you just can't score on. You just want to go home and get something to drink. Maybe go to the bar, go kiss your wife, go see your kids. You just do it. I mean, I didn't like it being Mickelson, who he is and what he represents. I don't know if golf needs more plays like that, but I definitely am not on it as bad. I'm gonna say not, because we don't want to start seeing that stuff. I mean, the reason you turn into watch golf or any sport is you want to watch the best be the best. But I'll tell you right now, I told you last week, the U.S. Open's awesome because all the great players look just like me, and I love that.
It's probably no surprise to you because I'm not a golf guy, but I'm going hot with this because it was relatable. I mean, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
I would get annoyed and I would try to hit it while it was still rolling, and I would miss and I'd try to hit it again while it was still rolling. It'd probably go on six times. So I felt I was able to relate to him as a guy who's only ever done putt-putt golf in the driving range. I could relate strongly to him. So I'm hot.
I can see that. I can definitely see that, but... Yeah, I'm not hot on it, but I don't have that big a deal. I mean, the way he did it at the end, the way he kind of explained it, he was like, you know what? I didn't want to putt that again. I was going to take the two-stroke penalty. I just wanted to go home. And you know what? All right, fair enough. Go home.
So you're not one of the guys who's calling him a disgrace to the sport for this?
No. I'm not going to go as far. I mean, Phil Mickelson's one of the greats to ever play the game. It's too bad that a guy like that would do it, because when you look at Phil Mickelson, you think of greatness. But, you know, we're human beings, and you make mistakes. He knew it was a mistake when he did it, but at the end of the day, if you've played golf as much as I have, and you've played as much bad golf as I have, you can see why he did it.
All right, that's hot or not.
Another great hot or not. Get your cupcakes. You know, Williston, you can't beat those cupcakes, man. I'm telling you right now, they're the best cupcakes in the world. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this show. Me and Aaron know Bernie. Bernie, we're thinking about you, buddy. Feel better. We'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Patriots haven't moved up in the draft because they know Trace McSorley will still be there at 31.
And Bernie Siplicki.
With the 31st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Sony Michel, running back, Georgia.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Got any big plans this weekend, buddy?
I do. Tomorrow I'm headed out to Montreal with Sophia to have a nice 3-day vacation.
Oh, up to Montreal. You'd be good up there now, buddy boy.
I will. I'm taking it easy.
Attaboy. Take it easy. Bring the Pedialyte. I'm just telling you. Yeah, right. Wink, wink. That's right. So today I'm actually going down. So there's the Wine and Food Festival downtown on the waterfront tonight. So my wife and I and some friends are going to go down to that. It's usually a show with my wife down there at the Wine and Food Festival because she likes the wine. You know what I mean? I mean, she just likes it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that should be a fun thing. I'm not a big wine guy, though.
Oh, no, me neither.
I can't disgusting. Get into it. There's one wine I like, but most of them are like those dessert wines. They're like too sweet. You know what I'm saying? But I just can't get into wine. I wish I could. I love holding the glasses. Like, I love those wine glasses. You look so sophisticated when you're holding a wine glass.
What I like is the hatched rocks glass. You ever hold one of those?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, I mean, you feel like a businessman.
Of course. You know, I just like the normal wine glass. You know, you're just holding it straight up. People are like, oh, what are you drinking? You know, I'm drinking a little white, you know, white, whatever it is. Pink, blue, black, whatever. I don't know what it is.
But I won't touch it.
No, I don't like it. I just can't get into it. It's too, like, tardy for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's just too tardy for me.
But
anyway, that's where I'll be this weekend. So. Hey, man, great job today. Hope Bernie was out today feeling under the weather. He will be back next week here on Sports Saturday. Exactly. But Bernie. I want to thank Patricia Traina, Giants insider. Got good insight on the Giants. Obviously, we're rolling towards training camp. I mean, it's like a month away. If you can believe, like, literally, football season is like a month and a half away. And look at, like, Aaron over there. He's just so excited.
We're like a month from getting to see how tight Saquon Barkley's shorts can get.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm just going to say this. There's a lot of expectation for the Giants, and it's fun. Right now, it's a little bit fun to be a Giant fan because it's been rough for a while. John Becker, great announcement today on our show that they're going to be at Kansas and at Louisville this year. Unbelievable. Trey Bell Haynes has got a shot with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's been invited to their summer camp, so that's a big deal as well. And obviously, Don and Bernadette Pearson talked about the Conquer the Day soccer tournament on July 14th at UVM, benefiting the Stephen Pearson Foundation, which basically raised money for kids that are older than the 17-year-old range that Make-A-Wish does to give them an opportunity to relive their dream while they're battling such a terrible disease and cancer.
And if you were listening and you forgot what the information for that was, we posted it on Twitter, so you can go find where to sign up there.
Yeah, go to our Twitter page and check that out. See, I can't even say it. All right, guys, we are Sports Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon on 101.3 ESPN.com. Have a great weekend. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week.